the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Young Man in a Hurry, was written by Morton Wichengrad.
It was April, only a few short years ago. Perhaps for you it was a month like any other month. But for my mother and for me, it was the month of our second birth. We were in America, and we didn't have to be afraid anymore. That's what the lady at the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society in New York kept saying over and over to my mother.
It's something you just have to accept on faith. But America is America. It isn't Europe. Can you understand that?
Yeah, I understand good. In Vienna, many years ago, in school I study English.
You speak it very well.
Danke.
Now, tell me your full name, please.
Frau Bertha Spielmann-Gerber.
And this is your son?
My son, yeah. Heinz Josef Gerber.
Heinz, do you speak English?
Nein, he speaks good English. I teach him myself. Now, Heinz, sag ein paar Worte in Englisch zu dieser Dame.
Oh, nein, Mutter. Ich habe Angst.
Sei nicht dumm, sag irgendetwas. Say one word for the lady in America.
Hot dog.
I see that Joe's education has begun. Tell me, Frau Gerber, what was his education in Europe?
Running away. Learning how to stay alive.
I know. Frau Gerber, your husband, he...
They caught him.
I'm sorry. It's not easy for me to ask such questions.
It is not easy for me to give such an answer.
Yes. But from now on, you and your son must try to forget. This is America. You're safe.
Danke schön.
Don't thank me. Thank America.
We wish it, but how?
I can't tell you. Every person does it in his own way. You and your son will find that way. You'll see.
How do you express gratitude for tranquility that may be taken for granted? How do you pronounce a benediction for policemen who do not expect you to bow before them? How do you sing a hallelujah for workers who are not required to remove their hats in the presence of their employers, and employers who need not tremble before the majesty of government officials? You take liberty too much for granted. We were the delayed pilgrims. We came later than you. And we were able to see what you had done. We saw so many things. And our eyes were new. We stayed in New York only for a short time. A year later, my son presented himself to his principal at Weaver High School in Hartford, Connecticut State.
My name is Heinz Josef Gerber. Okay.
Where did you learn to talk like that?
It's bad, sir.
Well, let's say it's original. Well, what can I do for you, Heinz?
Joe. Joe is better American.
I wouldn't be surprised. Well, Joe?
Please, you will enroll me, yes. I have a good desire to be a junior in this high school.
How old are you?
17.
What education have you had until now?
1 year Real Gymnasium in Vienna.
And what else?
3 months busboy in New York City.
That was hardly a formal education.
I learned plenty.
I wouldn't be surprised. How else have you educated yourself?
I work. Tobacco picker, shipping clerk, bakery assistant, office boy, freight handler, salesman, meat cutter. change jobs a little.
You do, don't you? How are you employed at present?
By day, office boy. By night, freight handler.
Two jobs?
Sure.
Aren't you tired?
Sure.
Well, young man, you'll exhaust yourself. Why do you do it?
It is for college. I will be engineer. American engineer. Please, I have a good desire to be a junior in this high school.
Yes, yes, I believe you. We'll first have to find out in what class you belong, and you'll have to take a series of examinations.
I have two pencils. Please, now, yes? I am in a hurry.
Joe?
Yes, sir?
Your knowledge of mathematics and science is extraordinary.
I am a junior in high school?
I'm afraid not.
But you said...
I haven't spoken about your English examination.
It is not good?
It is very bad. Hmm. Joe, let's try again. How do you spell bough? The bough of a tree.
B-O...
Careful now. Bough.
B-O-W.
Joe, how do you pronounce B-O-U-G-H?
That is easy. Buff. No?
No, Joe. It's expecting too much. I'm terribly sorry.
I will study 5 hours every day. I will study 10 hours every day. I study as much as you want. Please, I will be high school junior. In my heart, in my mind, in my soul, I am for engineer. American engineer. I am in a...
In a hurry. Yes, yes, I know. Very well, we'll allow you to enter the junior grade, provided...
Yes?
Provided you study first and second year courses on the site.
I will.
And pass special examinations in them.
Yes, sir, I will.
Joe, I think you will at that.
Yes, my son Joe was in a hurry. But why? Only for himself? No. Not only for himself. He would become an engineer. But I couldn't bear to see the way he drove himself. He couldn't even eat his morning oatmeal without at the same time doing homework.
Ma, will you pack my lunch? I'm nearly late for school.
I'm packing. Can't we do one thing at one time now? First, eat breakfast. Your homework will wait.
Oh, I blotted it. Nuts, nuts, nuts. I'll have to do it over.
Nuts. That I suppose you are learning in your English class, eh?
It's very good American, Mama. Where's my lunch bag?
Finish your oatmeal. I like a clean plate.
I got a scram. Goodbye.
Joe, you will get a double F in English. It will serve you right. Nuts, scram. You must have more respect for a language.
Oh, Mama, don't be a square.
He went to school from 8:30 in the morning till 2:30 in the afternoon. After school, he worked in a bakery until midnight. At midnight, he began his homework. Saturday and Sunday, he studied his freshman and his sophomore subject. He allowed himself one movie a month.
A metaphor is a figure of speech which... English... Mama, I'm going to fail. I know it.
The first 3 months he did fail English. But by the mid-year he passed, and in June he brought me his final report.
Mama, a B average in all my subjects, English included.
That's good, Joe. That's very, very good.
It was a breeze, Mama. You have to take these things in your stride. Nonchalant, that's the word.
Yippee! Joe, shh. The neighbors.
Mama, I passed my freshman test. I passed my sophomore test. I passed my junior test. Yippee!
Oh, Joe, stop. You break my ribs, Joe.
I'm a senior.
Yippee!
You sent for me, Mr. Burke?
I did. Won't you have a chair?
Thank you, sir.
I can't recognize you as the young man who came to this school 2 years ago.
Oh, I did not mean to kick the soccer ball through the window. I'll pay for the damage, Mr. Burke.
Well, the Board of Education of the City of Hartford thanks you. Joe, that isn't why I sent for you.
Oh?
What's your average?
A high B, sir.
Why isn't it an A, Avery?
Well, sir, I had been working pretty hard, and, well, I quit the bakery and decided to have some fun. I guess I slackened up.
Joe Gerber, why do you think I sent for you?
To scold me?
No. Joe, sometimes I think being a high school principal is a thankless job. And then when I'm feeling really sorry for myself, a Joe Gerber comes along. You're embarrassed, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Heinz Joseph Gerber, the faculty of Weaver High School is happy to nominate you for a Jacob L. Fox Foundation scholarship to be used toward the payment of college expenses in any college that you select.
Mr. Burke, I...
That's correct. Your average was only a high B, not an A.
Mr. Burke...
Exactly, but Mr. Lewis Fox and the judges were concerned as much with character as with marks. Joe, what's your hurry?
I've got to tell my mother. I want to tell her right away.
He chose Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute and he matriculated in the School of Aeronautical Engineering. I tell it to you not with pride, but like a prayer. By the end of the first year of college, my son Joe, not a boy anymore, a man now, came to me and kissed me and whispered in my ear,
Mama, at Rensselaer there is something called the Gottschall Powell Scholarship. I won it, Mama. It means my tuition until I get my degree.
Joe.
You don't have to say it. I know.
Now I would cry.
It is good news. You should be happy. I'm happy.
I am happy for myself. But I would cry for all the dead mothers of the dead children in Austria, Germany, and Poland who were never given to see America.
All right, Ma.
Forgive me. I spoil your happiness at such a time.
Oh, it's all right.
You have won the right to be happy now.
Yes, ma'am. I bought a tennis racket. And I've lined up some dates. I'm an American. I'm going to college. I'm going to study and I'm going to have fun. Yes, ma'am.
Dear Mother, as I wrote in my last letter, Rensselaer is almost as good as being home. I'm fooling around with the soccer team, and I've joined the debating society, and my roommate Norm and I go to dances. I've been having a little too much fun. I have to stop now and get back to an engineering problem I should have finished 3 weeks ago. Norm sends his best regards.
Hey, Norm! Got a 3-cent stamp?
Kid, they kill people for less. In the dresser.
Which drawer?
Let the pressure P and the velocity V at all points. When are you getting around to that airfoil problem?
Don't rub it in. Norm, it isn't that the problem is tough.
No?
Oh, I don't mind the tough ones. But this is the old series of unsymmetrical curves. It's tedious, that's what it is. To solve a problem like that, why should a man have to read points and interpolate curves all over the place?
Quit stalling, Gerber.
Who's stalling? I'm just saying that a problem that requires scales, slide rules, dividers, protractors...
Get to work.
Norm, it doesn't make sense. Instead of all those gadgets, there ought to be one single instrument to do all the work.
Of course, Professor Einstein. One instrument that will bend up and down and around curves.
Why not, Norm? An elastic rubber ruler. Save hours of time. I'll bet a nickel I could calibrate it.
Here's a nickel. What are you doing with your pajamas? Okay, they're your pajamas. Joe, what do you think you're doing with that elastic band?
I'm going to make a rubber ruler out of it. I'm going to make me a scale that can flow with a curve, expand, contract, and turn around the corner. Look out, I'm in a hurry.
Joe, what are you doing?
Finishing my problem.
Who are you kidding? What do you mean, finishing?
Finish. To complete or bring to an end. To complete by doing all things requisite or desirable.
Don't give me that business, Gerber. You haven't finished that problem.
Haven't I, Norm?
Huh?
Take a look.
I see it, but I refuse to believe it.
You mean you worked it out?
With this scale made out of the elastic in my pajamas.
I'll be a cockeyed monkey. How do you know you got the right answer?
Check it and see.
Yeah. Einstein, what are you going to do with that elastic?
Use it again. Homework's going to be a cinch from now on. I guess it's an invention, huh?
Sure is. What hath Gerber wrought? Hey, how about making me one?
Dear Mother, do you remember how, when I was a kid in Vienna, I found a way of electrifying the doorknob? Do you remember how the maid dropped the tea tray and how you spanked me? Well, spank me again, because I've just invented something else. Oh, don't worry. My professors are very happy with it. I'll tell you all about it when I come home.
Joe, go away from my kitchen stove.
Just a minute, Ma, and I'll be through.
What do you think you are doing?
Heating a coiled spring.
Are you going to eat it?
I said heating, not eating. My pajama elastic wasn't a scientific instrument. Besides, its stretch was limited. But if you pull a spring like this one, the distance between each coil and the next coil increases proportionately to the entire expansion of the spring.
So? Even if I understood what you were talking about, I would refuse to believe it.
It isn't complicated, Ma. It only sounds complicated. You want me to explain it?
No.
It'll only take a minute.
No.
Even a child would understand it.
I refuse to be a child. Now, get away from my stove.
Ma, you know what this spring can do once I've got the distances calibrated on it?
Joe, don't use such a language in the kitchen.
I could squeeze this scale together and measure Abraham Lincoln's nose on the calendar over the sink, and I would be able to tell you how tall he was.
And that's important, Joe, huh?
I don't know. With this instrument, you can take a drawing or a graph and translate it into inches or meters or centimeters or anything.
Get out of my kitchen or I'll take a broom to you.
Mama, I hate to say it, but you don't have an inquiring mind.
Hey, ouch! Oh, Mama! It was like a foreign language. But he wrote from college to say that his professors were excited about it.
Gerber, your variable scale doesn't merely improve upon a slide rule or upon any other instrument already in existence. It is something different. It doesn't replace anything science already has. It adds something altogether new and incomparable.
Joe came home for a holiday. He wasn't interested in talking or reading. He fidgeted all over the place.
Ma, I think I'll drop over to the place where I worked last summer and, talk to the boss.
Didn't fool me for a minute. There were some girls who worked there.
Hello, Joe.
Oh.
You sound disappointed, I guess, because the girls are out to lunch.
Oh, no, Mr. Kuppelman. In fact, I came over just to chew the fat with you.
How's college?
A lot easier. I found a way of beating a combination of slide rule, dividers, and protractors.
You don't say. Mm. If you start talking calculus to me, I'll throw you out on your ear.
Mr. Kuppelman, I've got an invention I'd like to show you. I call it a variable scale.
I'm a businessman, not a scientist. Is it any good?
My professors think so. I'm making models for all of them.
Have you got it patented?
What?
If it's any good, you ought to have a patent on it.
Someone mentioned it, but I don't have any extra money these days.
Joe, I've known you for a couple of years, and I like you. Suppose I lend you the money.
It's very decent of you, Mr. Kuppelman, but a patent is unimportant.
You're wrong, Joe. A patent means that the United States says, Joe Gerber, you're a bright young fellow. And for 17 years, no one can infringe on what you've done. A patent is protection, Joe. Encouragement. Now, you talk to a patent attorney, find out how much you'll need, and I'll make out a check.
Why do
you... Because I think you deserve every break. When you came here from Europe, we didn't lose. Europe lost. Now, find out how much you need.
I'm grateful. More grateful than I can say. But I've already borrowed money for books and clothes. No, I'm not going to borrow another cent.
Well, pay it back in 20 years.
It's still a debt.
I'd gladly give it to you as an outright gift.
I wouldn't take it, sir.
Look, suppose this thing is any good, and I think it might be. A lot of people can use it. Maybe the Army and the Navy and the Air Corps. Joe, how would you like a partner?
You mean I'd go into business?
Sure. Of course, you'll need money to finance you.
You're saying I can start a business just with an idea?
And a little financing. That ought to be easy, because you've got a good idea. It happens quite a lot in this country.
Mr. Corporal...
Just leave that model with me. I'll have it appraised by engineering consultants. Now, if they agree that your invention has possibilities, you've got a partner and money for patents and development and marketing. Joe, maybe you think you've discovered America. You're only beginning.
He was still a student at Rensselaer Air Polytechnic Institute when the new corporation was organized.
Joe, let's call it the Gerber Scientific Instrument Company. Here are the papers of incorporation and the contracts. And hold on to that patent, because that's your protection for the next 17 years.
I'm very happy.
You ought to be. Kid, you're the president of a corporation. Now go back to school and do your homework.
Because of the accelerated course during the war, Joe graduated from Rensselaer in 2.5 years. He got his bachelor's degree in aeronautical engineering and his first job at Wright Field, working with U.S. Air Force engineers.
Hey, Joe, let's work on this airfoil problem. I hear there's a little gadget that'll make some of our problems duck soup. Let's have the box, huh?
Here you are, sir.
Thanks. What'd you say your last name was?
Gerber. Joe Gerber.
It's a real coincidence. The name on this box. That is a coincidence. Wouldn't be a relative of yours, would it?
My closest relative. Me.
Sense of humor, mister?
No, sir.
You're not fooling?
No, sir.
Well, tell me something about this thing. Well, what's it good for?
Well, it can be used for spacing rivets. It can be used for reading odd scales and non-dimensional curves. It can be used for interpolation and for determining the pitch of screw threads, laying out airfoil sections, making construction layouts, things like that.
Mr. Gerber, Mr. Gerber, something tells me you've just found the answer to an engineer's prayer.
In America, there have been many inventors, and they have made great and wonderful things. And there will be many more. I am proud Joe is among them, though his isn't a great invention. But it is something good and useful. You see, Joe and I, we came to America in a time of our need. We sought the American dream. And like so many others, we found it.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Judge Emanuel Greenberg, former judge of the Court of Claims of the State of New York and president of the Brooklyn Jewish Center. Judge Greenberg.
We have just heard the story of an inventor. In these times, all of us would like to feel that we have something vital to contribute, that we are, in some sense, inventors. The past year has been a year of building. The moral and physical regeneration of Israel is a regeneration undertaken with a spirit which found voice throughout the world for the fervor and inspiration with which this new land is being dedicated has proven a sharp contrast to the sick and weary, quarreling minds of the 20th century. It has been a year of renewed support of religious institutions. Men are turning to religion, not, as the scoffers claim, because it is an escape, for faith requires strength. Not, as the cynics claim, because it is a dupe, for the Jewish religion has been always bound up with scholarship. From despair, from confusion, perhaps, for religion answers with a hope, and prayer contains a discipline. Though modern man has gained a tremendous control over nature, he can no longer control the complex society in which he lives. His destiny may be formed, his life altered by events thousands of miles away. He must preserve his identity, preserve himself, so he turns inward, for he is still the master of his soul. In a world of chaos, he turns to a tradition with a formulated and time-tested ethical and judicial system. He turns to a tradition of learning when the world is filled with prejudice and fear. In a world of imperfection, he may still strive to perfect himself. This strength is an affirmation. It is often said, we cannot change the world. It is even more frequently said, we cannot change human nature. But the individual effort, the emphasis upon a spiritual quality, represents a refutation of these easy phrases. We may sense that this newfound spirit will continue and will evidence the will to peace and the will to brotherhood which is found in church and synagogue and which, in ever-increasing numbers, is being realized by the congregation.
Thank you, Judge Greenberg. Our eternal eye drama today, Young Man in a Hurry, by Morton Wishengrad, was used through the courtesy of the DuPont Company, sponsors of the Cavalcade of America radio series. The music was composed by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Lily Darvas as Mrs. Gerber and Leon Jenny as her son, Joe. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.